Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we are so thankful that you've tuned in today for another edition of Abounding Grace Radio. As you know, we've been studying John chapter 7 this week, and it has been very powerful because what we have seen is Jesus boldly confront the people's wrong ideas of Him. They had been pushing upon Him their view of who the Messiah should be. And we do this all the time with Jesus. Today we have created Him only into a Jesus of love and a Jesus who could never judge. But this same Jesus who declared His love is also coming back on a horse of judgment. And He holds the keys of death and Hades. So here we see, and He is warning the Jews here in John chapter 7. He's saying, basically, take very great caution in the way that you're listening to my message. The window of grace is short. And they're not hearing Him. They're not receiving Him. They're not believing in Him. And so now Jesus cries out a second time in John chapter 7. And He cries out and He says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." It's really powerful. It's beautiful. It's a gospel call. So simple. He says, come to me. Drink. Be satisfied. I want you to ponder this for a minute. If anyone thirsts, why would he use that? One of the most painful things one could ever face in this life is to die of thirst. I quoted yesterday, I'm going to say it again, you know, there was a study a few years ago on thirst, and it was very graphic, and I want to read this to give the picture of just what Jesus is saying here. Saliva becomes thick and foul-tasting. The tongue clings irritatingly to the teeth and the roof of the mouth. A lump seems to form in the throat. Severe pain is felt in the head and neck. The face feels full due to the shrinking of the skin. Hearing is affected, and many people begin to hallucinate. Then come the agonies of a mouth that has ceased to generate saliva. The tongue hardens into a senseless weight. Speech becomes impossible. Although next is the blood sweats phase, involving a progressive mummification of the initially living body. The tongue swells into such proportions that it squeezes past the jaws. The eyelids crack and the eyeballs begin to weep tears of blood. The throat is so swollen that breathing becomes difficult, creating an incongruous yet terrifying sense of drowning. Finally, there's living death. Now, Jesus is using that to describe something else. If anyone thirsts, why would Jesus say that? He means that if anyone deep within your heart, if you know the despair and the poverty that's there and your condition pains you so that you know the despair because of conviction for sin, I'm a relief for you. I will quench that despair. Nothing else can do it. Your works will never be enough. Your gods of stone will never speak. Your empty solutions, all your remedies, all your fountains, nothing. Jesus is saying, I alone can satisfy the thirst of all. And I believe this is crucial because Jesus had just said that these people are going to go on. And He says, you will seek me and not find me. And where I am coming, you cannot come. This window of grace is so short, dear listener. The time is now. Come to Christ now. And I pleaded yesterday, there are so many who play fast and loose with Jesus Christ. They don't take the call seriously. Their life shows nothing of any real devotion to Him. They've not really come to Him. Oh, they listen to messages. Oh, they have some convictions. But are they a living, vital member of his body? Have they really become a member of that body? Are they really showing themselves that they're following? See, Jesus is calling people to come to him. You know, for some reason, as Christians, we also think that this just happens when we initially come to Christ. And we've not yet realized that this coming to the fountain is a daily coming. Psalm 139 says that, you know, that God is constantly searching and trying and testing our hearts to show us what's going on there. And as we daily feel thirst, we come to the fountain. He gives us living water, and it continually bursts and satisfies our hearts. Paul said, "I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord," ready? "I die daily." Do you die daily to yourself? Do you know how you die daily? You become more and more painfully aware of your spiritual poverty, and you are lifted high in true joy in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. His power, his grace, his life flows into the thirsty sinner. This is the Christian life. This is what Christ is describing here, that coming to the fountain of life is believing in Jesus Christ. And believing in Jesus Christ channels into us his life, his gospel, so that we are satisfied. We live. We're set free. And the more we die to the self, the more we learn to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God to pursue righteousness. Now that's where we come back today to the problem in this text. The problem in John chapters 6 and 7 is that Christ has confronted a whole bunch of people who refuse to see how decayed their hearts are. And they have no perception of their emptiness. How's that going to happen? Here is the most encouraging, uplifting statement in John. You see how great the gospel is, that with man, this is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. How is this coming going to happen? How are thirsty sinners going to see and know that thirst and see that the answer is Jesus Christ? How is anyone going to be filled? Jesus says here that the scripture has always taught this. Notice he says that. On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me," now here it is, "as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Then he goes on to say, "This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." What did the scripture say? When did the scripture say this? I looked everywhere, and I'm convinced that he's thinking in particular of Isaiah. Listen to Isaiah 43. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast in the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness." He says, "I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I formed for myself. They shall declare my praise." Then listen to what he says. "But you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel." And then he goes on to say, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring." What was the prophecy of Isaiah, and where is that fulfilled? Isn't it happening right here? What has gone on in this section? Jacob and Israel has been weary of the Lord. They've not come to the Lord as thirsty sinners. They've rejected the Lord. They've not called upon the Lord. And what does the Lord promise in Isaiah? That there would a day would come when his chosen, upon them he would pour water and give his spirit. What has Christ been saying the whole time in John 6 and 7? All these people are troubled and they're rejecting him. They have been citing Isaiah, right? They're weary of Christ. As we cite Isaiah, they're weary of Christ. But what has he said? Therefore, I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him by my Father. Explain that. My chosen will hear. And Isaiah said, upon his chosen, the Spirit would be given to them. Who are you introduced to here in power in John 7? The Holy Spirit. When Christ said, out of the heart will flow rivers of living water, he explains that in really powerful detail. Verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He is not saying that the grace of the Spirit was not given before the death of Christ, but that once he did come, something far greater than what we're seeing even here would happen. The faith God would give to believers by the power of the Spirit would be powerful, bright, and illustrious. Look at the difference of Peter before and after Pentecost. Look at Christians today. I don't have raging rejection of messages. I have people today who hear and who love his word, who regardless of how it confronts them, the Spirit is in them, they hear and they receive it, and they come to the waters that they may have life. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus is saying here, he's going to kindle an awesome fire in people's hearts. He will kindle that thirst and hunger for Christ. That what we are not seeing here in John 7, that there will be a day when there will be a great desire for Christ. There will be, on a great scale, a great number who do not refuse him, who do not fight when he exposes their thirst, who say, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Where else could we go? We've come to believe and to know, I mean really know, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe there are really thirsty people listening right now. And you're thirsty, and your life shows it. Have you come to Christ? Have you believed in him? You see, he sends out of the heart living water so that today you can be satisfied, the kind of water that bursts in your heart to everlasting life. May we today be satisfied with this Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who lived, who died, who rose from the grave and today is seated in heaven, and who says to all who believe, heaven is open to you. I'm coming again so that where I am, there you may be also. That is the promise he gives to all who believe in him. So dear radio listener, have you come to Christ? Have you come to these waters? They alone can satisfy your thirsty life. Founding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We would love to have you join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Day. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.